ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya We will read today a verse which fits very nice to our lecture today. Now, this verse is the fifth verse of the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. In the 15th chapter, this material world has been described to be a reflection of the spiritual world. An analogy has been given of a reflected tree which stands on the bank of a lake and gets reflected upside down in the water of the tree. This example is very necessary for us because it tells us you cannot go to a reflection and get what you wish to get from the actual thing. For instance, apples. If you go to the reflection of a tree in the water and eat the beautiful red apples which are reflected in the water, your mouth will only become more wet. Huh? So, if you are hungry for apples, you need to go to the actual tree. If you are hungry for happiness, you cannot go into the world and look for this reflected or false happiness. No, you must go to the spiritual world. Om Tat Vishnu Parabham Padam, that the saints always look with their eyes to the spiritual world. They never look for the material world. Huh? This is an important thing. So, we are unfortunately totally bound by this tree which has the material, which has different instructions of the Vedas, how to enjoy life. Huh? We are totally bound. Even sometimes we may want to become free from the material world. The material world has us and controls us by strong ropes of attachment. Krishna says that the only way to deal with this is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by this surrender to Krishna, you cut the tree, the false tree of material attachment. And now, in this fifth verse, he will tell us exactly what is the quality or qualification of those souls who wish to go from the material world to the eternal spiritual world. Are you interested in these qualifications? Why? You wish to develop these qualities by and by. Very good. Then you are at the proper place at the proper time this evening. Congratulations, you made a good choice. You will now hear what you have to do to obtain the kingdom of God. Translation: those who are free from false prestige, illusion and false association, those who understand the eternal, those who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. Hare Krishna, little boys. Purport: the surrendering process is described here very nicely. The first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride. Because the conditioned soul is puffed up, thinking himself the lord of material nature, it is very difficult for him to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know by the cultivation of real knowledge that he is not lord of material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord. When one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. If you wish to practice Sharanagati, surrender, you must be free from the delusion caused by pride. For one who is always expecting some honor in this material world, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Person. Pride is due to illusion, for although one comes here, stays for only a brief time, and then goes away, he has the foolish idea that he is the Lord of the world. He thus makes all things complicated, and he is always in trouble. A puffed up person makes things complicated, but someone who surrenders to Krishna has no trouble any longer. The whole world moves under this impression, of pride. People are considering the land, this earth, to belong to human society, and they have divided the land under the false impression that they are the proprietors. One has to get out of this false notion that human society is the proprietor of this world. When one is freed from such a false notion, he becomes free from all the false associations caused by familial, social, and national affection. These faulty associations bind one to this material world. After this stage, one has to develop spiritual knowledge. One has to cultivate knowledge of what is actually his own and what is actually not his own. Does this remind you of a shloka? If you maybe think of the Ishopanishad, is there a shloka which tells us something that we must know what is our own and what is not our own? Ishavasya savamidam yat kingsha yat jagam yat jagat yena taktyena bunktena makashit then Suridhanam, yes. Yat Suridhanam. We must know that what we can take. Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. And we must know what is not for us. And when one has an understanding of things as they are, he becomes free from all dual conceptions such as happiness and distress, pleasure and pain. He becomes full in knowledge. Then it is possible for him to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please let us chant together. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskachyare Sadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadigo Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. One just wants to go on and on when one starts the chant. Yes. Lord Krishna explains who can go into the eternal kingdom of God. He says it must be the person who's free from false prestige, from illusion and from false association. Such a person must understand the eternal. He must distance himself from material lust and free from the dualities of happiness and distress. In other words, he remains equal-minded even in happiness and distress. He must have some knowledge how he can surrender in his life according to his present state of adhikara, means abilities, how he can surrender to Krishna. This is Krishna's little prescription. I will talk today about one point. Krishna says one must be freed from the dualities of happiness and distress. Who finds this particularly difficult? I think most of us, when we feel something which is happening very pleasing, we become very enthusiastic. And when the opposite of pleasure happens, some distress, maybe some disease, we become sad and full of anxiety. This is what happens naturally. How can we become free from the dualities of happiness and distress? There is one shloka coming from Lord Brahma's mouth, which is a guideline for us. A guideline to become free from the stress of happiness and distress. This shloka says, Tate nukampam shushumikshamana punyana evatmakritam vipakam hetvakvapubhyaya Namaste Sajivita Mukti.
bhakti sada sadaya bhak.
It is a little hot for an European, and the brain gets cooked, so sometimes some shloka has boiled out of the brain and is somewhere in some part of Bangalore. So you please forgive me. We are used to ice and snow at this time. It is a little hot. But the fan then gives us a cold, so therefore we can also not have a fan. Hare Krishna. This is a material body. Anyways, in this shloka, Lord Krishna, Lord Brahma tells us that we can become free from happiness and distress by simply understanding that everything which happens to us does not happen by chance, but it happens by the arrangement of Lord Krishna, who gives us our karma. Some of us have wondered, how is it that Sachit Ananda Prabhu, was hit in the midst of Bangalore, where the traffic is extremely congested and not much speed is possible, was hit in such a freak accident, that means something which is very extraordinary, and then was killed? The answer is, here is a devotee, and Lord Krishna has made an arrangement for him to leave his body. Lord Krishna took some of his karma, last karma, and through this karma, death was presented to him, by which he got free from all remaining karma. My dear devotees, this understanding is necessary for your spiritual life. When something happens, usually what we do is, we say, it is your fault. You made me suffer like this. But it is said in the German language, whenever you point with one finger towards someone, three fingers point towards you. Would you like to make this anatomical experience? No, don't do, because it's impolite to point with a finger. It is not done. We are the cause of the misery which is happening in our lives, and also the pleasure. We should take such a responsibility and not give fault and give, blame to others. To give blame to others is not very, very nice. You please permit me to give an example to you, which is a little, you really have to, I can say it because I'm from the uncivilized North Germany, but you might not like to repeat this example. When someone goes to the bathroom and creates the human pile, he cannot tell, why do you smell so aggressively? Because it was him who created the human pile. He has eaten sabji, he has digested, and now the result is there in the bathroom. There is no use to now become angry and frustrated and extremely political. Why did you disturb me? I will make a counter-political party now. No, an intelligent man understands. I have created. Now I have to take care of this. For this, we go to the bathroom. It is very difficult for a normal conditioned soul to accept responsibility for his activity. But a wise person who wants to become free from happiness and distress should understand that whatever happens has happened due to his own activities. And while he understands this and does not point fingers, oops, you did it, and does not make politics against someone, he will be able to have the peace in his mind to engage in bhakti, thereby using his body, mind and words in the service of Krishna. Lord Brahma says such a person is able to go back home, back to Godhead. Not the person who always gets upset and always finds fault with others for things which he himself has actually caused to happen. It's a very important point. Now from this point, I would like to quickly move to another point, which I feel is my little gift to all of you. If we want to develop such high-class bhakti, where we become tolerant to the miseries which happen in our lives, where we have this strength of tolerance, it is necessary for us to get some blessings. The ordinary person in this world thinks, I can make advancement by my own activities, by my own education. I can progress in life by my own endeavor. But in spiritual life, we understand that there is something much more strong than your own endeavor, by your intelligence and by your activity, by your muscles. What is actually the most strongest force is blessings. If a person has gotten blessings on his or her head, the impossible becomes quickly possible. From where do we get blessings? We always get blessings from a superior personality. Just like water flows from up, from high to low, in the same way blessings can only flow from higher persons, superior persons, to lower persons. Let me give you an example which is very strong. At the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra, after many years of cruelties against the Pandavas, finally the Pandavas were posed for battle against the Kauravas. So many abuses, so many attacks, so many bad things had happened to the Pandavas. Now they were ready to fight the battle of Dharma. They were not fighting for their own cause. They were fighting for Dharma on Krishna's behalf. Bhim Sen was jubilant. He was expecting this day. He had counted this day, counted for this day. All of a sudden, he saw his older brother Yudhishthira doing something totally unexpected. He took down his armor, put down his weapons, and walked over the battlefield towards the Kauravas. Oh no! Shouted Bhima Sen. He wants to ask for peace. Not now. But because it was the older brother, he had to follow. He also put down his armor. He walked behind. Arjuna saw this. He also followed his older brother, went Now, they didn't know what would happen. I think Bhim Sen must have crunched his teeth so much that there was danta powder coming. I cannot imagine it differently, but this is a speculation. It is not in Shastra. So finally, Yudhishthira went to Grandfather Bhishma and he said, Bhishma Pitamaha, please give us the blessing to fight with you. You are our grandfather. You are our well-wisher. You are now on the opposite side, but you still are our well-wisher. Please, your blessings in this war is required. Bhishma Pitamaha said, so wonderful. I bless you. If you would not have come, you would have no chance to fight with me. But I bless you that you can be a victory. Then Yudhishthira said, Pitamaha, the only way to gain victory in this battle is if we defeat you and kill you. Please give us this blessing also. Sadhu, sadhu, very good, said Grandfather Bhishma. I want to go anyways. I give you this blessing also, my dear son. Kshatriya, Kshatriya. Yudhishthira went. Then he went to Dronacharya. Bow down. Oh, venerable Guruji, please give us the blessing that we can fight with you. Oh, said Dronacharya, tatastu, 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 may you fight and win. Hare Krishna. Bhima Sena felt very relieved. Arjuna felt very relieved. Then they went and then they started the battle of Dharma. Blessings are important. This is why we have learned in Indian families, we always must seek blessings. This is why in spiritual life, every morning we start our lives with pranam to our spiritual father, our Guru Maharaj. Have you noted? Every morning we start with Guru Puja. You have noted? This is to get blessings for the coming day. When we are not in a living in a temple and we are in a congregation, so that we have to hurry our program in the morning so that we can go to work, please do not leave the house in the morning without seeking blessing from your spiritual master. Also, if your parents are there, go to your parents, to your mother and your father. Ask them for blessings. It's very important. You will get the strength to have an extraordinary good day if you ask for blessings. In the scriptures, there is a shloka which says that the human form of life is like a boat which can take us over the ocean of samsara. We from Germany know about boat driving. And I can tell you, the boat needs wind to move. In the same way, the human form of life, in order to move over the ocean of birth and death, needs the blessings of our spiritual master, of the Vaishnavas, and of Krishna himself. Never forget to look for these three blessings. Blessings of the Vaishnavas, blessings of a guru, of the guru, and blessings of Krishna. Then your boat of human life has the proper wind. Often we forget and we do everything according to our own endeavors, but we will not be successful. We will not be successful. We will not be successful. Never successful when we want to cross the ocean of samsara. It's not possible. I would like to illustrate this point from another story. I will go now into another direction. I would like to ask you a question. Often in the association of devotees, there are difficult situations because of different individuals. One devotee has this opinion, another devotee has that opinion. And sometimes you meet a devotee who has a different opinion than you. Has this happened in your life? Now, how to progress? I want to ask you a question. Do you want blessings or do you want to be right? Don't just say so quickly without thinking deeply about it. This is a very deep question. When we meet a situation, let us always ask this question. Do I want to be right or do I want to have blessings? In relationship to parents, traditional Indians know. Sometimes parents are a little strong-minded and they have one opinion, and when we are young, maybe we just have awakened from our puberty, no? Remember back, we don't think like this. Oh no, you want me to dress in a dhoti? But what will the girls think? I want to dress in pants and western shirt. The father says, no pants and western shirts. You must go to the mandir and you must dress in dhoti. And we feel like... Do you know this? And when you were young, it's some situation like this. Oh. But those who are little intelligent know. Do I want to have my own right? I'm after all also a human being. I can decide. I'm a little independent. Or do I want to have blessings? A very important question. A very important question which we should transport especially into our association with Vaishnavas. Of course, there are sometimes situations when we are together with Vaishnavas where there may be some wrong understanding and it must be discussed in a proper way so that we can see and slowly arrive at a right conclusion. But we should always have this mood, my dear devotees, not to avoid getting blessings from Vaishnavas. It's so important. Because when you get the opposite of blessings, that is ill-wishes, not good-wishes, even then your spiritual progress gets stunted. You know stunted? Stunted means, I hope it's the right English word, stopped. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about this. When you offend Vaishnava by making him upset and so on, then you may take a bath in the Ganga. It will not be of any use. When you offend a Vaishnava, you may chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It will not be of any use. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, when you offend a Vaishnava, your bath in the Ganga turns against you. Not that it does not only not do any use, it turns against you. That force which ordinarily pushes you forward now pushes you backward. If you he says the chanting of the name turns against you when you offend Vaishnava. Therefore, this getting blessings of the Vaishnavas is so important that whenever there was a quarrel in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's ashrams, he would have a very specific tactic or technique, which I want to now also reveal here. He would, let us say, Vaishnava A would quarrel with Vaishnava B. Huh? He would then get them together in his presence and say to Vaishnava A, Vaishnava A, now say something good about Vaishnava B. And then Vaishnava B says something good about Vaishnava A. So the conversation might have started like this. Vaishnava A. It's good that you eat prasadam. Vaishnava B. It's good that you sleep in the temple. Some little good. This is how it started. Then after some time, by finding something good, you find more good. This is a rule. By finding something bad, you find more bad. But by finding something good in a situation, your perspective has now changed. And now you will see more good. And then the discussion might end. I find it good. I know you endeavor as much as you can on the path of sadhana bhakti. This is very nice. I have seen you praying for the deities. This is very nice. You know, and finally the aggression, the fire of aggression is put down. My dear devotees, let us now go back to the main theme, the blessings of Vaishnavas. It makes everything possible. In the Mahabharata, there is one story about the Rajasuya sacrifice of King Yudhishthira. This is my last story, which I plan to end this lecture. During the Rajasuya sacrifice, do you know there were different personalities who had different jobs to do? Bhishma and Drona controlled if everything is all right. They were something like the police because they were so respected. Duryodhana was already then a little materialistic. He counted the Lakshmi. Do you know what was Bhima's service? Yes, he cooked and took care of Vashadam. And Draupadi's service? Very cultured, she greeted the guests. And what was Krishna's seva? Washing the feet of the guests. Yes. So at the end of the sacrifice, everyone waited for the sign that the sacrifice is complete. The sign that the sacrifice is complete is that the bell rings without any human or anyone ringing the bell. It would go ping, ping, ping. I hope at the end of the lecture this bell will do this. Maybe it will not do it because it's not such a good lecture anyways. So, but anyways, it's also not a sacrifice to give a lecture. But at the end of a sacrifice, if it is perfectly complete, the bell must ring without being rung by anyone. The Rajasuya sacrifice ended. Everyone turned to the bell. But the bell remained silent. Exactly like this bell. It remained totally silent. There was not even a shadow of a sound. Yudhishthira turned to Krishna and said, "What was missing in the sacrifice?" Lord Krishna smiled and said, "The blessings of a Vaishnava. Bhim Sena must now find a Vaishnava, and we must satisfy the Vaishnava and get his blessing. So Bhim Sena found some nice renounced Vaishnava who had his Chalagram Shila Puja and brought the sadhu into the royal assembly. And Draupadi, the goddess of Draupadi, had already cooked a preparation, and the Vaishnava was very humble and said, I don't deserve this, and I really only eat a little madukari, no need such an opulent feast. But the Pandava said, please eat sufficiently and be satisfied. So the Vaishnava ate, and at the end, when the sound came from his belly, then everyone looked to the bell. But again, no sound came from the bell. It was exactly as silent or even more silent than this bell. Yudhishthira became nervous. Such a big sacrifice. All the rishis from the universe had come, but it was unsuccessful. He turned to Krishna, he said, my dear Krishna, why was the yak bell not sounding? Was the Vaishnava not satisfied? Yes, he was satisfied, said Krishna, but one amongst you has made an offense against this Vaishnava. The Pandavas looked at each other. Who? And Krishna explained Draupadi. Draupadi had cooked a meal, and then the Vaishnava took all the preparation, chup, 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 like in Bengal, or in maybe in South India they also do, and then they go and munch everything together, because there's a theory in eating that this is pre-digestion. This theory is available. I have heard this. You have not heard this? I have heard. So Draupadi felt, I have cooked such nice preparations. They look so nice for the vision. They have been served in different... please help me. What is the little... Katori. They have been served in different katoris. But he went like... And Draupadi said, Krishna thought, what an uncivilized person, without a lot of culture. And that's why the blessings have not flown, because some apparat was there. What to do? Bhimasena, I get the sadhu again. Bhimasena went to the sadhu and said very politely, please come. And the sadhu said, no, I'm so satisfied. Now I cannot eat for one more week because I'm not used to so opulent food. Bhimasena, you please come. It is necessary. So that the sacrifice is complete. And the big-bodied Bhimasena, who fought with 10,000 people at once, cried like a child, please come, my dear Vaishnava. Finally, the Vaishnava came, sat down. Again, Draupadi had cooked. Again, he took the plate, because this was his habit. And he ate. Draupadi just smiled happily. And then all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. The bell was ringing. This story you will find in the Mahabharata. And it makes the point that we should have a blessing, the blessings of the Vaishnavas. I personally want to now give... I will speak now very strong. Will you allow me to speak strong for only 3 minutes? Nrisimha Swami Prabhu, you are the temple president. You have to give me permission now. You will see now a strong Swami. No humor any longer. No smiling. Better I put the glasses on, then I look a little... No, I want to now talk seriously. I had this last night a dream. In this dream, I saw a very big temple in Bangalore. And in this dream, I saw that the Jagannath Mandir and the congregation of the Jagannath Mandir had built this temple. And I want to describe to you now the walls of this temple. Some big temples are made from granite stone. Some big temples have glass elements. Some big temples have even some gold elements, at least at the, how do we call this? Gopuram, yes. But the temple I saw had different walls. It was a temple which was built with Vaishnava relationships. It was a temple which was built with Vaishnava blessings. It was a temple which was built with very loving and serving relationships amongst the Vaishnavas. This temple looked more beautiful than even golden temples, ruby temples, because it is this temple where the Vaishnavas are served and respected, which attracts Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna really becomes attracted to where his devotees are served. He says so in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam. Sadunam hridayam tvaham. The sadhus are in my heart, and I am in the hearts of the sadhus. Then he says, really, I have no other knowledge. I do not know anyone else than the devotees. And similarly, the devotees do not know anyone else than me. My dear devotees, I strongly want to encourage you to try to build such a temple. It will not always be easy, because sometimes we feel like Draupadi. Oh, he is... why did he do this? And he may not... we feel hurt. Not by something like prasadam eating, you know, in a different style. But we feel hurt. Maybe this Vaishnava in some ways has hurt some of our sentiments. Maybe he has said something and he was not aware of the effects in our consciousness and so on. I really want to encourage you. The moment you are serious to build such a temple, the temple of Vaishnava relationship, you do not need any big building with stones, because or rubies or whatever. But you will see how everything expands. And not because of the endeavors, not because of money, but because you have satisfied the Vaishnavas. And they feel from the heart very happy with you, and they will give you the blessings which come naturally from their hearts. See, we live in an ISKCON institution, and an institution sometimes has difficulties, because an institution has to manage, and when you manage in the practical world, there are sometimes this one crosses the path of that one, he made an arrangement, and so on and so forth. And therefore, sometimes in our ISKCON institution, sometimes there is a lot of hurt, a lot of bad feelings from this group against that group. Let us not be fools and take part in this. Let the fools be in this area of aparadas and offenses and talking bad and thinking bad. Let us in our practical dealings try to serve the Vaishnavas. And a Vaishnava, we see a Vaishnava like everyone who comes to see the deities. We see them as beginning Vaishnavas, as middle Vaishnavas, and as high class Vaishnavas. And we serve them accordingly. The younger ones need our care and attention, and sometimes instructions. The middle Vaishnavas who need our friendship and support. And the older Vaishnavas, we will respect them very much and learn from them and serve them. I have seen this mystical wonder. I will say here that I have a very high regard to Radhanath Maharaj, who is not only, who is a very good friend to me. And we have, with my own eyes, when he was not a known person in ISKCON, met him in Heidelberg, and I have seen or heard how from a very small room where there were rats, now a nice temple which looks very much like the Radharaman temple has come, even bigger. If you come there, you please make a pilgrimage. It is very beautiful and reminds us of Vrindavan very much. I have seen, and I have asked Maharaj, what is the secret, how you can come from a little room to this? He said, I do not know. I only know one thing. We have to serve the Vaishnavas. And this is a great secret. So in my dream, I have seen such a temple in Bangalore appearing, the temple of Vaishnava relationships. This temple did not have a physical structure, it had a spiritual structure. I want to encourage you to apply the teaching of this key class. I would like to request you this very sincerely from my heart. I have seen you as a wonderful congregation who has been very kind to me, who has invited me to come to your temple and lecture, and so on and so forth. And as you can see, I like to lecture. It is my service to the devotees. So I wish you all the best. And please think about this. And next time a problematic situation comes, just ask yourself the question, do I want to be right or do I want to get the blessings? It's a very good question. It's a very short question. And then when you ask this question, you will most properly like to act in a humble way serving the Vaishnavas. Most properly. You will get this inspiration in your heart. Yes. So today we were talking about blessings which are necessary to develop also these qualities. Tatenu kampam susumikshamanam, to go through everything what comes in our life and understand anyways the others are not at fault. I have brought myself into this situation and now Lord Krishna is giving me a little of the karma. I will not be angry at those who are agents to give me my karmic reaction. I will just be humble and I will seek the spiritual path. Hare Krishna. Now you please all bless me. Yes. Let us lovingly call Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki, Sri Gonitai ki, Jai Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.